Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us today, and particularly at short notice. You put it on note, we've had a busy couple of days. We've done some announcements today, which you'll begin to see over the course of the next few hours, I hope. We've also been busy with our staff over the Monday, Tuesday, explaining what our plans are and outlining the future and a whole host of initiatives, which are about 20 in number in total. The purpose of this call was just in the spirit of openness and transparency, just to spend a bit of time giving you an update so that you hear it direct from us, and then just spend a bit of time on Q&A, just going through it. That's really the purpose of it. I just want to make sure that personally I have a chance to talk to you directly, and therefore when you're seeing stuff, if indeed we do get some coverage in various bits of press or whatever, you've got some context and opportunity to talk to myself and Simon and Mark and Mark, who are both with me here at this moment in time. Back in May, I acknowledged, I think hopefully to everybody, the sort of scale of the challenge to transform BT. At the time, I talked about the initial priority and my initial focus was to look at our people and talk about what we could do for them and make sure that the culture was moving in the right direction. We've made a lot of changes there, making everyone a shareholder, as you know. We're forging ahead with our plans for our new offices, for collaborative working, and we're taking our steps to increase the voice of our teams at the top level of helping them think through how they contribute to the running of BT. We've made lots of changes there. It is an ongoing priority. That's a journey to ensure that our staff are with us on this particular challenge of transforming BT and creating a better BT. What I want to talk about today is what we're beginning to do for our customers and what we're going to deliver for them in terms of the brilliant products, the best converged connectivity, and outstanding service. Often, of course, it is in the U.K. that this happens. In various guises, it's families up and down the country, the NHS, the Coast Guard, the emergency or security services, big business, small business. These are our customers, and we are in the fabric of everything within the whole of the U.K. Without ignoring the critical role BT plays globally, I do want to discuss today mainly what we're doing in the U.K., as we have a key role to play, we think, at this critical juncture for the U.K.'s role in the world. I think we can make sure we do play our part in doing the very best for the people of the U.K. and our country more broadly. The sort of major context setter is really talking about technology. I think we all recognize that the pace of technological change is increasing and that there are so many new technologies coming through, whether it be AI, machine learning, automation, robotics, and the sort of explosion of devices that's soon to be upon us. In our strategy of best converged network, differentiated customer experience, and creating a simplified, lean, and agile business remains in place. I hope no one disagrees that's the right path for our business. As part of this, we're also looking ahead to the connected society that I referenced a minute ago, and that BT will be serving in the years to come. Over the coming months and years, that grappling with that technology will require some tough decisions as it comes through into our business and many other businesses. It will also, we think, yield massive opportunities, which I'm confident we'll be well-positioned to capitalize on. Today we're focused on four key areas for our customers. Number one is delivering brilliant products that bring together the best of our leading networks to provide an outstanding experience for individual and business customers. The sort of hypothesis here, the assertion is two networks are better than one. We are launching today BT Halo, which is an upgrade to our highly successful BT Plus and indeed our 4G Assure product for business. This is the first time that we've launched a product that is called the same for both businesses and consumer. BT Halo for business exists, including digital voice services. We're also launching separately the next generation of connectivity for larger businesses through SD-WAN. The big product news here is BT Halo, brand new converged product with exciting tariffs, exciting bundles. The next generation of BT Plus and 4G Assure is now renamed BT Halo. At the same time, for the larger corporations, the larger businesses, we're going through the next stage of software-defined wide area networks, helping people on the journey to the cloud and all the other things that you know about. That's number one. New exciting products, and they are genuinely, Mark's sitting next to me, so Mark can talk a bit about that in a minute, if you're interested in some of the detail, but they are genuinely very, very differentiated. There's nothing out there like that in the marketplace today. So the next subject is talking about service. We've been on a drive to make our service more local and more personal than ever, and we've made a few changes as a result of that sort of ambition to bring it to a reality quicker and sooner and faster. So as a result, we've accelerated our onshoring program to bring service close to the customer, answering all calls in the UK from January 2020, which is now a full 12 months earlier than originally planned. We're launching an entirely new team of 900, they're new jobs, home tech experts. So they're on the ground to visit you in your home and fix your tech issues. And another big bit of news is BT is returning to the high street with BT people, sales and service alongside the EE stores. So we'll be available in every one of our 600 stores up and down the UK. Moving on to infrastructure, you know, we're building and accelerating the uptake on the infrastructure that the UK needs to enhance its productivity and development. Our aim here is to take the FTTP across the UK in support of the government's ambitions. And as I've said many times, we continue to stand ready to accelerate our build once the right conditions are in place. And in this respect, we continue to have conversations with the government, the industry and the regulator. And we're optimistic that we will get the conditions in the situation that we require to ramp up our build in the way that we've talked about through our aspirations. Big news today is we are bringing 5G mobile, obviously, to BT customers following the successful EE launch in May. So that's another big launch. And we're also upgrading to all IP digital voice and launching all IP digital person services. We're also following through on our promise to accelerate the migration of copper customers to superfast where available. And that means, and give you hard numbers, 700,000 homes and businesses are moving to the fastest speeds available for them at absolutely no cost. So that's enabling families and SMEs that form the backbone of the UK economy to do more. So there's an example of BT really concentrating on the fairness agenda and doing the right thing. Finally, I want to talk a bit about our evolving role in society. We said back in May that I would continue to share the way in which we see our role evolving, and today we're announcing a few changes. So we believe that BT's central role in the UK bestows on us a unique obligation to aim to go further, both for ourselves with projects that align with our business strategy, but also for those that we serve, but who sometimes need help and support to take advantage of today's fast and evolving digital products and services. There are millions of people and businesses who today lack the essential skills they need at an estimated annual impact on the UK competitiveness of some £63 billion. To help narrow this gap, we are launching a hugely ambitious plan to equip school children, families, businesses and our public services with the skills required to navigate this new technological age. We are committing and announcing today to train up to 10 million people to help them navigate the digital world. From next week, you will see this as the first segment of our new advertising creative designed to highlight how technology can help every one of us overcome the barriers to fulfilling our potential. And I hope you'll enjoy this campaign as much as I've enjoyed working with the team to put it together. So I have Simon Louth with me and Mark O'Leary, and I'd like to now open up to Q&A, and if I'd ask you please, make sure everyone gets a chance, can we just limit it to one question please, if that's okay. Mark, operator, would you mind opening up to the questions please?
Thank you. If you wish to ask a telephone question, simply key star then one on your telephone keypad. If you decide to withdraw your question or it has been answered, it's star two. So to ask a question, it's star then one. Please stand by for your first question. Your first question comes from the line of Carl Murdoch-Smith. Berenberg, please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Hi. Thanks for the call. I'd like to ask one about an update versus the May 2018 transformation plan, please, which was to remove 13,000 roles, but to add 6,000 in network deployment and customer service. I'd like an update in terms of to what extent today's plans are in line with or more aggressive than those plans, Given also the Prime Minister's gigabit plans, should we still be thinking about a net role reduction, or are roles now more likely to grow going forwards, given the investments that you're making in the network and in customer service? Thank you.
Yeah, great, Carl. Thanks. I'll ask Simon leads our transformation efforts here, so I'll let him update you on the $1.5 billion and how we're making progress on that, and then we'll also talk a little bit about the implications of the government's plan to accelerate fiber even faster than we've announced so far. Simon?
Sure. Okay, Carl, hi. So firstly, the plan we announced back in May 18, which was our transformation plan to deliver 13,000 gross reductions and, as you say, about 6,000 new roles, that plan remains firmly on track. We announced that we delivered, annualised about $1 billion at Q1. We'll provide a further update, obviously, in back end of this month. So that programme remains on track. The announcements today, Carl, are entirely consistent with that plan, and more importantly, the additional initiatives that we announced in May 19, so this year at the full results, where we talked about the additional OPEX investments and CAPEX investments that we'd be making in a number of initiatives, like introducing new customer propositions, migration of copper to superfast, step-changing customer experience. You'll recall we gave some high-level description of where that additional OPEX and CAPEX investment was going. Today's announcement gives you much more detail around it. So, final point, the reinvestment, Carl, of 6,000 roles, you'll recall we said quite a lot of that was in Openreach to step up the first phase of our fibre rollout to 3 million, which we've now upgraded to 4 million, and that increase in roles is consistent with that plan. If the conditions are in place to allow us to go further, to try and hit the sort of 15 million, we might need to ramp that pace up a bit in over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. That, as we said, might include additional capital, which might include additional people, but that would be all part of a decision and announcement we would make at that time. So no change at this stage. Hope that's clear.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Nick Delfis, Redburn. Please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Yeah, thanks very much. Just a quick question on the timing of any decision on that 15 million. Is there anything you can share with us, given we are having a Queen's speech, given you're also going to be talking to Ofcom, I'm sure, over the next couple of months? When do you think you'll be in a position to make a decision on accelerating fibre? Thanks very much.
Nick, thanks for your question. I can't give you any real certainty. I guess that the way I would describe it is, I think the fact that the Prime Minister has such an ambitious aim to try and get full fibre renamed now 1 gig to as much of the country as possible by 2025, and that he's announced he's making £5 billion available to help the final 20%. That is definitive, and the money is available. We haven't defined how it's going to be spent and exactly where and how, but it's targeted at the last 20%. I think those things have to be positive. They put us in a much better place than maybe we were 6 months ago, when the level of uncertainty was much higher. The challenge is that the regulatory timetable doesn't change. So we're still looking at April 2021, and one of the big pleas I made directly to the government was, if you want us as an industry to build quickly, please, please give us the regulatory certainty we need. You can't ask for it by 2025 and then say we won't give you the regulatory decision until April 2021. That's 20% of the time. So I think there's number one. And number two, we're making a lot of progress in terms of at least them hearing the arguments about don't tax the build of it, and also help us with the barriers to build, which are along the lines of Wayleys and planning and people trying to get in the way of building something which we all agree makes sense. And now we've got the leader of the UK Prime Minister saying it needs to be done. So I think they're all positive. Do I think that increases the chances of the date coming forward a bit of when we can be certain? And do I hope to be able to be in a situation where I can give clarity ahead of April 2021, Yes, I hope so. But I wouldn't be expecting it to be imminent because, frankly, I think he's, you know, Boris has got his tail on fire with lots of other things right now, and I'm not so sure this is the highest on his list right now. So let's wait and see what happens over the next few weeks and take a bit of breath in sort of November time. Does that make sense, Nick?
Yeah, that's great. But can I just follow up on the question of April 21?
Yeah.
December consultation on access. So what do you need to wait for until April 21 as things stand on the regulatory timetable?
Well, yeah, great, Nick. Quite right. It may be, I mean, for example, if the December consultation was issued and the whole industry said, Ofcom issued their statement, and everyone in the industry said, yeah, we're behind the Boris-ish plan, whatever that might be, and these regulatory regimes that have been articulated are actually perfect, then you could feel 90% certain that's going to end up being what's put into stone on April 21, which is the actual physical process we have to go through. Yeah, that'd be great. We have to wait and see whether or not what's in the document in December. That is a key date, no question, you're right.
Okay. And if I can just be allowed a very quick one.
That'll be just the three questions then, Nick.
Yeah.
go on, keep going, Nick. Right, go on.
Very quick one. Just if you could just give us a little bit more clarity, just the consumer in terms. I mean, you're hiring 900 new people. So what people can see is obviously more costs going in. So could you just specifically for consumer talk a little bit about the balance between cost cutting and new investments and how we should think about that?
Let me say it's a good question. So let me say one thing, then I'll get Simon to talk about the financing, but then maybe give Mark a chance to just talk about what his plan is in overall service. So. Well, the first thing to say is, I think back in May, we talked about some additional investments that we were going to make, and they were roughly 350 million split between CapEx and OpEx, and Simon can give you the exact split if you want. I'm sure you remember that. At the time, people pushed us, what exactly is that for? We've been developing this plan from the get-go, and so we knew it was for these kind of things, but obviously we wanted to talk to our people first and refine the propositions and the service propositions and get it absolutely right, launch it internally, and then do what we've done today, which is tell the world about it. So we're really well organized internally. Nothing changes from a budgetary point of view. So, Simon, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
No, I think this was an initiative, Nick, that was in our minds as we framed the additional investments back in May 19, and it's an investment in a service which we think will be valued by our customers. And Mark, I think, you know, the value from this comes from, you know, the customer experience, the NPS, the churn reduction.
Why doesn't Mark just it's quite important because this it's an integrated strategy in consumer about service and product. So just bring the personalised local service a bit more to what we see happening over the future and going against the tide in retail. Just explain that, Mark.
Yeah, I want you all to think about us here creating the. We talk a lot about our network, broadband, mobile, Wi-Fi. What we're creating here is an unrivalled service network for our customers, and our ambition is to be the best at service. We've made good progress over the last 12 months. If you look at complaints for BT, for example, we've gone from being the worst in the industry a couple of years ago, highest levels, to below industry average now, and we're aiming for best. So we can already see that we're making a difference. But our customers have told us that the call centres they want in the UK, which we've accelerated by a year, we're also adding to that capability regional calling, which means if we can, we'll land that call to one of our teams in the region that you're in, and we've done that on EE, we're trialing it in BT, it's boosting satisfaction levels. Retail for our BT customers, one of the big bits of feedback I've been getting from them for the last couple of years is I want a place to go for service and support and to see all of the range of devices and great stuff we offer. So we're going to be rebranding our retail estate. You'll see the BT brand on there, 600 stores nationwide, 95% of customers no more than 20 minutes away from a place they can go for service and support. And that's really important for all customers, but those that are lacking in digital skills as well and need that extra bit of help, face-to-face service in their local community is something they really want. And then the last part that they've been really asking for, as we're seeing this increased complexity in the home, more devices you're managing, more software, more content, someone who can come into your home, which is why we're creating this in-home tech expert team, to help and support you there, connect all this stuff. This is an unrivaled service network that no one else is providing, and I think it's fantastic for BT customers and what we're doing. And as Simon rightly said, I know this is going to increase NPS because I've seen all the insights and I've talked to customers every day. It will help us lower churn, and that will ultimately translate into longer and better lifetime value and lower cost over the long term. But it was all part of what we were planning and talking to you about in May.
Yeah, great. Okay,
brilliant.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sam McHugh, Exane. Please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Yeah, good morning, Paul. I like the very detailed set of stuff. Really good for the UK, I think, number one. Number two, more specific question about financial impact of this stuff. I think Simon just mentioned the £350 million incremental investment this year. If I think about hiring of these new tech experts, kind of the repricing of copper customers to fibre bundles or moving them to fibre, sorry, how should we think about the phasing? Is the £350 million all cash costs that you will have kind of incurred this financial year? And then how much will we see kind of OPEX step up again next year related to some of these programs? That'd be super helpful just to understand the phasing. Thanks very much.
John?
Okay. Well, first, it's 250. It's 100 in OPEX and about 150 in CAPEX is what we said in May. But in terms of the phasing, what we had said was that the... if you recall the way we framed our outlook, we said that our EBITDA for this year, we brought down about 100 relative to where we'd expected in May, and we said that was sort of also impacting the following year because the relativity between this year and next stayed the same. So this is a program of OPEX investment that's sort of spread across this year and next, a little bit more ramped up in the second half of this year as we sort of building momentum with these initiatives. And we've also said that the CAPEX, which is more focused, actually, Sam, on the acceleration of the FTTP rollout and the acceleration of our 5G. So the CAPEX component is more network-oriented, and that, again, is something we've lent into throughout the course of this year and will sustain into next year. We've also said that our outlook for this year remains unchanged. And we also said that we expected to see growth in EBITDA in next year, so 2021, and that remains our midterm outlook, and that's unchanged as well.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question comes from Paul Sidney, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. You're live on the call.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. It was really just on Halo and how we should think about how the product is priced. You've been reluctant to offer sort of big discounts on converged products in the past, but I was just wondering, is there any desire to push converged products a bit harder and maybe just give the customer a bit more of a pricing discount on these products?
I'll let Mark describe Halo. I just wanted to give one answer. Push harder, definitely yes. Mark, now how are you going to push harder, Connor?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really like the word discount. And for us, we like to put value in our bundles for customers. It is priced at the upper end of the market, and BT Plus was, and Halo will continue to be. But more than a million customers already in just over a year shows that we are offering good value for money, that over a million people have chosen that product, many of whom fully converged with mobile and enjoying other services with us. So what we're adding into Halo, how it's evolving, we've announced today, we haven't announced the pricing, but it will be, it'd be really good value for money for customers to help us accelerate convergence, as Philip said. We're adding in 5G, we're adding in unlimited mobile data, we're simplifying our calling plans with landline. We are not putting out of contract price rises for this customer base. This is really important when you think about front book, back book issues and fairness, which is really important for us as well. And we're including a home tech expert visit as part of that package as well. So it's another great service that customers are getting for the price they're paying, as well as keeping our Keep Connected promise using our mobile network to help the broadband network reliability and speed wherever possible as well. So we always said it would be a series of chapters. We'd enhance the value through our converged propositions, and with 5G, unlimited data, home tech experts being the flagship new services added to that, we're going to continue offering great value for money and building this converged base from the million or so we've got today.
Paul's right. Mark, our current price of BT Plus?
Well, it really varies. It ranges from, you know, 40 up to £65.
Let's say roughly, call it £50. Yeah. What we're saying, it's one of our most premium priced products. And again, just to repeat, and this is why one of the reasons we're going up a really strong platform, a million people on it, a million homes, it's got the highest NPS and the lowest churn. People absolutely love it. And the next version of BT Halo is so much better. We already have the next chapter in our vision. We know what it will be, and we're not going to share it yet. So no one else can offer converged products like we can. BT, mobile, 5G, unlimited data on both fixed and mobile, and we're having Halo for business. So you're going to see a lot of advertising on Halo, because our 4G Assure, which is the equivalent similar product for businesses, SMEs, to BT Plus, is going to morph into BT Halo for business. So you're going to see us advertising these amazing converged ideas, propositions, tariffs, bundles, all under the BT Halo brand. But you're going to get the synergies of SME business and homes. And actually, by definition, people realize that it's good for business, must work well in the home. So you're going to get a lot of synergies on what we do there. So we're really excited by it.
Many thanks.
Thank you. Next question comes from David Wright, Bank of America. Please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Hello, guys. Thanks very much for hosting the call today. Just probably a question following on a little from that, and maybe just a kind of tweak on that, if that's okay. So if we're actually thinking about the pricing, I know, Philip, you said quite forcefully over the last couple of occasions we've met you that you are no longer willing, or you would rather not lose any more share. And you have mentioned about using price in that battle. Now, this feels like a very service-oriented, quality service-based product. Whilst this is kind of ramping up, are you relaxed on just maybe letting a little bit more market share go as this feeds its way through to the market? You know, it sounds like Vodafone's super strong in mobile this quarter, for instance. And then just a question on the actual product. So, is there a kind of EE Halo equivalent? I'm just wondering, you know, if you're an EE customer and you quite like the look of this, how will that all work? How are you going to manage the two brands? Thank you.
Okay, David, they're both really important questions. Let me do the first, and I'll let Mark talk about the second on EE Halo equivalent. You're absolutely spot on, again, on what I have said consistently, and I really believe is there are no circumstances that BT will lose the value for money trophy. So we are going to be seen as the best value for money in the marketplace for broadband mobile converged propositions, full stop. And we will not countenance losing market share in that pursuit, because we just think we need to be in a situation where we maintain our leadership. So what you're seeing today, though, is a tried and tested path, which is deliver things that our customers really, really value. And it's not always about price per se. Price points are important, but it depends what you're offering within that price point. What we know, and as I said it before, on BT Plus for consumers and 4G Assure, certainly on 4G Assure, we can hardly keep up with demand, right? So we've got strong demand. The question is, how do you play in the other segments, and how big are those other segments? And you know, where people are competing just on price, we will make sure we're competitive on that point, and whatever it takes. And that may be, and that is the uncertainty here on pricing, proposition, and services. The investments make sense, they're all covered, as Simon says, all no problem. The challenge is what happens on pricing in the market. Our primary focus is the top-end converged propositions, but also, you know, people do go on a journey. Consumers do go on a journey, and sometimes they join a certain product, and then they go through a journey and upgrade to others. So we will make sure we're getting our fair share of people who are not going straight into converged propositions for whatever reason, such that they can be a platform to end in the right place over the years. And we look at it as a lifetime value, and therefore expect us to be very, very competitive on price where we need to be. That won't change. EE Halo commitment. I mean, this is the best of both. I'll let Mark do it. The best of both retail.
EE customers. I mean, as you all know, selling broadband to a mobile base is a lot harder than converging mobile to a broadband base. But EE customers do have converged benefits today. They get a data boost on their mobile if they bring home together. And we've recently announced, because EE customers tend to be much more over the top friendly, a great bundle with Apple TV and BT Sport, which has been really successful for us. So they've got converged options as well, much more suited to what EE customers are asking us for. And a great news for customers when they come to one of our stores, they can choose either of these great offers, and they both appeal to different segments in the market, which helps us spread more of the customers in the UK.
Yeah, and again, I would say Mark's been very thoughtful of how these converged propositions are constructed, so that they do appeal to the entry point for different segments. Whether you start with a mobile, whether you start with a home connection. What your family situation is, number of kids, what your feeling on technology is, and how you feel against the BT brand versus EE. So it's constructed very thoughtfully, very carefully, and it's smart in that it looks at the journey that our customers will go on over the next few years, and what's the best way of delivering for them the best value for money that gives us the best return.
Actually, so just quickly, so if I'm an EE customer and I'm in store, I look across the divide to the different colours or whatever it is, and see BT Halo and say, actually, I'd quite like this. Do I just flip to become a BT mobile customer? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, you would.
You could,
if you wanted to. And that's our job, is to give the customers the choice and make it easy for them.
Very clear.
Yeah.
Thank you, gents. Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Maurice Patrick, Barclays. Please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Yeah, hi. It's Maurice here from Barclays. Just an enterprise question for Chang, if that's okay. So you talk about next generation cloud connections for enterprise and the release and pushing SD-WAN. I mean, some of your peers talk about cloud and SD-WAN being a deflationary element, so an element, a way to reduce their cost or provision and take market share. I mean, do you see sort of cloud and SD-WAN on the enterprise side as a sort of pricing up or pricing down event? Are you worried about sort of cannibalization of legacy products that often are much higher margin than new ones? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Maurice. I mean, yeah, again, a good question. I mean, the answer is sort of yes to everything you said there, right? In that, you know, SD-WAN, journey to cloud, more digital converged services, that is the new world. And what we do is try and help our customers go on that journey. I guess the key thing is, it's how it's put together, and what's the managed service perspective in terms of how that actually works. So, you know, why is Global focused on cost and lower capex? It's for that reason, right? So yes, you're right. There's a load of legacy stuff that people are going to be moving off, and typically, you're absolutely right. As you well know, the margins on that are good. What we're saying today is, as we develop our next generation SD-WAN type of products, we will take our customers onto the journey. But if it was just a straight swap, you're right, we'd make a much lower return. But we try and bundle other things into that, which are sort of in the managed service category. And we include always security. Security is really important part of the bundle, because as things get more complicated and you get, you know, more on the edge, more software-defined networks, more cloud, more complicated estates from a software point of view, security is really, really important. And our SD-WAN services are also designed and delivered and managed by BT 20,000 world-class tech and security experts. So we have one of the few bits of 24/7 managed service. And remember, we've got 3,000 cybersecurity experts who are working every single day just doing that. So that's how we deal with the sort of headwind you're referring to, which is real, yeah.
As a quick follow-up, sorry, is there a reason why you didn't talk about more about security in the release today? I know you do it already, but the thoughts to your point just made now is a sort of an increasingly important thing for consumers and enterprises alike.
Look, we do. We're going to be talking more and more about security. I mean, the facts that we've talked about that you'll see coming out is that, you know, we do have these 3,000 people. By the way, we are stopping 4,000 cyber attacks every single day. We do a very, very important role for government in the UK and elsewhere. Getting the balance right about how one communicates that is quite important for obvious reasons. So what you're going to see is, you know, within direct conversations with consumers and our customers, we underline the security risk and we underline the security challenges, and we talk about what we can do to help them. It's not something, we will advertise a bit of it, and so in the advertising you're going to see that. There's an advert, I think, which says, be open for business, not open for attack. But that's about as far as we'll go, because we don't want to bring upon ourselves a new wave of attacks, and I've had a lot of experience of this. So we have to get the balance right where people go, you should be worried about security, you should genuinely worry about security if you're a consumer, a home, or a business, particularly an SME who don't have the resources. We're experts, we can help you, but we need to do it in a very smart, thoughtful way in terms of how we market that. I hope you understand what I'm saying there, Maurice.
No, super clear, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Guy Eddy, Macquarie. Please go ahead, you're live in the call.
Hello, it's Guy here. I've been called many things, but that's a first. Just a quick question, please, on TV and sport. There isn't a single mention of it in the press release. Is that a sign of BT evolving itself to be convergence service and not reliant on TV and sport going forward? Thank you.
I'll let Mark give his perspective. No, it's not, but I'll let Mark go on.
Yeah, hi Guy. Yeah, we've got so much in this release already. We've got a new TV service we've been working on. We talked about this super aggregator vision where we're bringing together the very best of sport and entertainment content, and we expect to launch that very early in 2020. So we'll be bringing details of that in the coming weeks and making a separate announcement around that. Just because of the timing, we didn't put it in this release, but it's coming, and that's the integration of Now TV and a bunch of other great content onto our TV service. So we want to hold fire a few things. We can't announce everything in one go. And on BT Sport, BT Sport is performing well for us this year, actually, and the recent price rise that we put through over the summer has landed well, and increasingly BT Sport standing on its own two feet, not being subsidised by the broadband base, is a really important direction for us. We're opening it up to more platforms. It's on Xbox, smart TVs. We're opening up a new product. It'll be available to non-BT customers at £25 a month. That opening up the distribution is helping the profitability. The price rises help the profitability. Customer base relatively stable. So year on year, it's making a better contribution for us. And obviously we've got the UEFA auction process which sort of kicked off, so we don't want to say too much about that, but it's very much front and centre in terms of how we're thinking about things.
Yeah, and just kind of just one thing, I mean, it's kind of a good, guys, good point. The TV stuff that's coming is quite significant. I mean, they've been talking in the marketplace about the deal we've done with those people, so that's coming early next year.
Yeah. Brilliant, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Yemi Falani, Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Morning, Yemi here. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for the extra detail. Just one question from me. It's clear that you're investing to reinvent the customer experience in the UK. As you try to differentiate your service offering, how do you square your new approach, i.e. home tech experts, regional call routing, with the push more broadly to digitalise your service offering? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll make a comment and then Mark or anyone else. Yeah, I mean, again, great question. This doesn't stop our major drive to digitise and move to digital. What will happen is that happens. There'll be more automation, more digital. It will be for our customers the sort of very straightforward two words are more simple, more digital. That's what's going to happen. In addition to that, we see there will always be a role for brilliant service to sit on top of a great digital service. And of course, where appropriate, we'll automate and take out any contact points we can, get rid of any manual intervention that's not required. You will also know we've got way too much of that today, right? So we've got loads of it. So there are a number of different things going on here. So the initiatives we've launched today are great service that will sit on top of, in the end, a brilliant digital experience. And there'll be more and more things that we think we will be able to provide under that service umbrella in the future as devices and the number of devices explodes and the whole technology estate or landscape gets more complicated. So we see those 600 retail stores, for example, and local call centers as being really, really important vehicles for staying close to our customers, because ultimately, in the end of the day, the lifetime value of these customers is what we focus on, and if we get it right, they're enormous. So, Mark, do you want to add anything up?
Well, only just to build on that, we just don't see it as binary as all of that, as Philip said. We, of course, customers want more seamless digital journeys from us. We're building that. But when your smartphone stops working, when you drop it on the floor and your screen breaks, you want to be able to go somewhere and get that repaired as quickly as possible so you're back connected and online as fast as you can. And that's one example of a number of services that we provide through our stores that you simply can't replicate through an online experience. If your broadband router stops working for whatever reason, you need to pick up a replacement with an hour to go before the weekend and you've got loads of kids coming and loads of work to do and be online. That's the type of service we can deliver through the stores and our in-home team that a digital experience can't replicate. So the answer is both, and that's what our customers are telling us. They want great face-to-face support in the home and on the high street, and they want seamless digital experiences, and we have to do both, not just one or the other.
And yeah, just to give an example, you know, we're working through sort of our longer-term vision of how will things play out in the next 10 years, where will technology be? You know, you should be able to walk into a store in 3, 4, 5 years' time, and we should know exactly who you are through either a camera that's up the top there, or you just pop your phone on the desk, and it knows exactly who you are and exactly what package you've got, and you can say, I'm interested in this new product. We haven't got to put you into the system, try and find you. You're on 3 or 4 different systems. That digitization is going to happen. We're going to do it really, really well, but it still will help us have a great platform to deliver good service as opposed to the other way around.
Thanks, guys. Very clear.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of James Britton, HSBC. Please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Thanks. I was just wondering, how are you expecting those 700,000 broadband customers to move up to super fast at zero cost? Is this sort of targeting the out-of-contract base and diffusing the loyalty penalty issue? And then I actually also had a question on the home tech initiative. I understand Sky and Virgin do this already, so what makes the BT service very different on this topic? Thanks.
Yeah, do you want me to take the because I think there are a number of initiatives that I've put under fairness that we've been working on and are part of the investments that we announced in May. I just want to remind everyone, we were the first company to move to transparent pricing in this market on an annual basis linked to CPI. That's gone down very well with customers as well as the price freeze for this year. Our Plus customers do not have an out-of-contract price rise, which will obviously significantly change the front book back book issues there. Existing customers will get the same or better prices than new on Plus, and that's another important milestone there. So as we build this converged base with those pricing propositions, we are reducing the impact of the front book back book issues. Then we looked at it on the other side, so that's more the premium converged end where we've done a lot, and of course CPI pricing across the whole base. On the other side, we've got 700,000 customers who are on copper but sit areas where the network is a super fast network. And when you talk to the regulator, they would call this the technology gap, the technology pack. You've got the technology and the loyalty. And so we've agreed it's right that those customers are on the right network for them. And of course it will help our acceleration of reliance away from the copper network. And this is a very big migration. We're doing some tests at the moment, and we expect all customers to be moved across by the summer, around late June. And that's a very big move, but an important part of addressing fairness, loyalty penalty, technology gap, all important issues for us to address.
And the only thing I'd add on the home tech experts, you know, all I'd say to you is this was, again, very carefully considered by Mark and his team. We looked not just in the UK what other people were doing, we looked across the Atlantic, North America, and various other places. So, again, this is not just something for today. This is the way the business is going to evolve, in our view, over the next 5 years, thinking through what the kind of products that will be landing, what kind of in-home tech experts we need, and what role will they play now, and how will it evolve, and what are they trained in, and what can they do, and what can't they do. We're pretty happy and confident that we've done some of which is very nicely competitive.
Okay, thanks. I just have one follow-up. So does that actually mean, to Mark's point, does that actually mean that your entry-level product now is your 55-meg super-fast broadband in 95% of the country where you've got the network? Thanks.
No, those customers, we're moving to the 40-10 product. Outside of the super-fast network, we're also looking at 4G and 5G technology solutions to power the broadband as well.
Great, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions.
All right. Well, everybody, look, really appreciate you joining the call at such short notice. I hope it was helpful just to give you a perspective on all the things we're announcing today into the marketplace and getting our staff and colleagues behind selling these new products and delivering the service in the way we described. So I hope it's helpful and look forward to interacting with you again in a not too distant future. All the best. Bye.
Thank you, Philip, and all presenters. That concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining and enjoy the rest of the day.